Sing it out here. Good to be, His word my hope. Amen. Let's get around and shake someone's hand this morning.
I will arise and call to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of Christ my Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 stars. It's shouting time in heaven, a sinner once lost is found. It's shouting time in heaven, salvation has been brought down. No wonder the angels rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson flow. And now I'm feeling fine. I'm walking on the highway with
Good morning, good morning. If we could work our way back to our seats. In Luke 2, chapter 15, we read, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this wonderful thing that has happened. Let us praise and adore our Lord and Savior by singing, O Come, All Ye Faithful." Singing the greatest thing. Singing, I will sing the wondrous story. story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Amen. You may be seated.
All right, well, good morning and welcome to Assurance Baptist Church. We're so glad you decided to come and worship with us today. We want to take this time and welcome any guests or visitors that we might have today. So if it's your first time at Assurance Baptist Church, if you'll raise your hand, and our guys in the back have a gift for you. I didn't think I saw anybody, but we just wanted to check. We're going to get started with prayer this morning, and then Brother Randy's going to come and pray and or play and sing for us. But let's get started with prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity, God, to come to your house. We thank you for the time of worship we've already had this morning. We pray for our preacher this morning that you'd fill him with your spirit and your power and that we'd be convicted by your word today. And God, ultimately, we pray if there's someone here today that isn't saved, that today they would come to trust you as their Savior. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to sing a song out of the hymn, one of the old hymn books, He Set Me Free. My life has been changed since I was 15 years old. I heard a sermon, and it convicted me, and I repented and asked Jesus to forgive me, and he's kept me ever since. I make few mistakes, but God's been good to me. Amen. I could tell you a testimony, probably take me 2 hours.
Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt, but Jesus came and glory.
to God, He set me free. He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Oh, glory to God, He set me free. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. And glory to God, I'm homeward-bound. He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory-bound.
Thank you, Brother Randy. Good singing this morning and playing. Appreciate that very much. If you would take your Bibles and go with me, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, as we continue our series, A Church on Fire. We look this morning at a church on fire is justified by works. We are justified by our works. And you'll say, well, Pastor, I thought we were justified by faith, but there are two types. And we need to make sure once we are saved, we understand we are justified by faith, but that there is a justification that cometh also by what we do saved. Because faith without works is dead. When you find Luke 12, verse 49, would you stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's word? Just a few short verses here. Jesus is speaking, and he tells us, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you nay, rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two and two against three. It's the only Bible verse I don't like because it talks about math. Now, the father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. We look here, and we see in the Bible that Jesus says, I came to bring what? Division. That's confusing to us. He says, I didn't come to bring peace on earth, but division. That's a very confusing verse for us as Christians, because we see in modern-day Christianity, it's all about unity and togetherness, and we're just supposed to love each other. But you see the Lord God Almighty, through his Son Jesus Christ, literally says, I didn't come to bring peace, but division. How does he bring division? We're going to see that today. And how can a church on fire, how can we preach the way that Jesus preached? How can we teach the way that Jesus taught? How do we do these things? We're going to see three things this morning, and how a church on fire must be justified by our work. Let's pray. Father God, we do lift up your name on high this morning. We can do nothing apart from you, for you are the vine and we are the branches. Forgive us, Lord, as we have trespassed greatly against you in our depravity and our deeds. Lord, we need your forgiveness. Father, as you have forgiven those of us who are saved, let us not forget those who may be here today that are not saved, who forgiveness lieth at the door, to ask for it, receive it, promise of salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I'd ask today that you would give us a sensitivity to your word, that you would make us have a contrite spirit, and that through the meeting of your people, through your word and the Holy Spirit, that we would glorify you and that we would be better walking out than we were walking in. Father, help us with this today. Help our hearts. Help us to be holy. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. A church on fire brings three things. I'm going to be real quick this morning, not because I want it to be, but it's just what God laid on my heart. So you listen very carefully. A church on fire brings three things. Number one, a church on fire brings judgment. A church on fire preaches against sin, and it does not water it down. We preach against it even when it divides us from the world. The whole purpose of preaching the word of God is to divide us, to separate us from the rest of the world, so that we're not like everybody else, but that we're like Jesus. Judgment falls on the wicked, and it brings separation to the righteous. When we are judged after we are saved, all it is saying is that we know right from wrong now, that we have a Father in heaven, that we have a righteous judge. We have one that tells us what's right and wrong. We have conviction through the Holy Spirit of God that we can be different than we were on the other side of knowing Jesus Christ. But then there's number two, justification. It brings justification. It's not just the simple part of justification that you and I talk about or you hear sometimes where we say justification means just as if I never sinned. It's more than that. It's more than just this legal standing with God. Justification is two types. We are justified by our faith, and we are justified by what we do with our faith. Look at the Bible, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have what? Access. See, after we're justified, then we get some stuff by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations experience and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. See, once you're justified in Jesus, your works will show that you're not ashamed of Jesus, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. A church on fire brings justification. It's more than just salvation or baptism. It's this, not just a legal standing. It's a separation from the evil works of darkness and a righteous in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It brings a work about it. Once you're saved, it brings all of salvation with it. When you got Christ, you bring all of Christ with you, and you're not ashamed to bring all of Christ with you. When I'm coming to your house for a bar, I bring my whole family with me, and there's six hungry people that came. So you have to have enough plates to be prepared, because when we come over, if you invited us, we're going to eat. Jesus has invited you, and you accepted the invitation. And so when you go out into the world, it's time to eat for Jesus Christ's sake. Be righteous. Look at James 2. James 2. Our faith shows up in our works. James tells us, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Just because you got saved don't mean you act like it. But if you are saved, then you need to start acting like it. I'm going to say it again. If you are saved, then you need to start acting like it. Some of y'all, it's hard for me to look at you when I'm preaching, because I look down and I go, they ain't changed. They're still the same. And they keep saying, well, preacher, I'm going to get better. But we're working on 3, 4, 5 years, and you're still doing the same things you've been doing. It don't take that long to get right if you're in Jesus. What you got going on is a hellish spirit, and you need to get right. Yes, you need to be justified by your works. Your works must change. You can't keep on living. What kind of employee would it be if every day you kept going to work and you just kept not doing your job? And they keep looking at you. Yeah, you get fired, but they keep looking at you, and the people start talking about you. And if you never change and get better at it, then guess what? Eventually you will be fired. You'll at least be demoted. You'll be docked in pay. You'll have a suspension. I'm not trying to suspend you or dock you in pay. I'm just trying to get you to get right. You're justified by works. Yea, a man say, I have faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. Show thee my faith by my works. See, a church on fire is showing the world their faith by what we do. When you show up to grow, you're proving that you care about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't show up to grow, I'm not saying you don't care about Jesus. Understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that's a work. That's an act. Miss Sherry, she's not physically able to come, but she keeps making bags. She brought a whole bag full of it. So even with her health, she's sitting at home making bags for us to hand out on. We're sitting at home not doing. Now, Brother Carter, I said I wasn't going to get worked up today, but the Holy Spirit says something different. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Guess what God says there? Big deal you believe in God. So do the devils. How do we know that you really believe in the God that you say that you believe in? It's by what you do. But will thou, O vain man, you empty man, that with faith or that faith without works is dead? He says, you say you believe God, but prove you love God and believe God. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works and by works was made what? God isn't, remember we talked about last week? God isn't interested in your mediocrity. He wants perfection. He wants you to get right. And the scripture filled with saith, Abraham believed God. And it was imputed unto him or given or laid upon him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. I want to be called the friend of God. My works, I want to do so much for the Lord that the Lord says, you're not just my son, you're my friend. Good place to be with God, isn't it? Some of y'all say, what a friend we have with Jesus. And some of y'all aren't friends with Jesus because you're not justified by your works. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. See, there's two justifications. Most Baptist preachers only teach justification by faith, but you got to understand there's two. That once you're justified by your faith, you can only get saved by faith. I understand that. It's written above our sanctuary doors. But once you're saved, there's something to do with that salvation. Once you got the ball, play ball. I see my boy, anybody watched the Reds yesterday? I never talk about the Reds for the last 5 years because they ain't been no good. But now we're in first place. And I feel like, as I know, whether they win or lose today, they're going to be going into the All-Star break in first place. And so I feel like today is the day for me to bring back Reds talk. I feel like today it's spiritual in nature for me to bring the Reds back. About this, I got doing here, I'm working on, but I feel like today is the right time. Did you see my boy Ellie De La Cruz? Did you see him steal second, third? He said that wasn't good enough. Let me go ahead and steal home. I said, oh, go ahead, Ellie. I said, you know, I'd have done it myself if I was out there. I'm so fast. Ellie's the second fastest man in the world. I'm first, but I thought about it today, and I said, I'm going to light this cross up red. See that? It just changed. Because I had an orange for the Bengals. Now we in first place. I got to light it up red. Now, if I'm being spiritual, it's the blood of Christ. But today, we're talking about the red legs. Now, listen. I bring that up to say this. Ellie got called up just a month ago. And all that talent was based upon a presumption and faith that once he got to the major leagues, this number two prospectual ranking he had in all of Major League Baseball, that's just a prospect. That's just faith that he's going to be good, but nobody had actually seen it. And now this last month, he's running and gunning and catching and throwing and stealing. And now he's justifying that faith the organization had in him by the works that he's putting out on the diamond. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Somebody got to listen to this. Somebody going to help me preach this morning. You were a prospect when you got saved. God said, you got the Holy Spirit. You got all the talent and abilities that are in the world now because you're saved. What are you going to do with it? De La Cruz would be no good if he was just a prospect, because the Reds had a few of those too. They're going to be real good. Then they get to the major leagues, and we call them a bust. Some of you are a bust today with your salvation. You got all the talent in the world, and you're not doing nothing for Jesus. You're a bust. You're going down in history as a person who had all the talent, number one prospect, number one draft pick, all the ability in Jesus, and you didn't use it for his glory. And you're a bust. Even the harlot, a harlot, something we call people these days. You don't want to be called a harlot. Even Rahab was justified by her works. When she had received the messengers and had sent them away, out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so without works is dead also. our faith shows up in our works. We are justified. Listen, justified would mean this. We are made right, or we are made better with God. See, justification by faith saves you. You're made whole. You're made perfect. You're made just as if you never sinned. But justification by works takes you to a new level. It takes you from just being a prospect for God. You're in the organization. You might play for the Dragons. And this justification by works says, I done hit an A. I done hit a high A. I done hit a double A. I done hit a triple A. Now there's nothing left for me to do but to be on the major league team, to get that uniform that says Cincinnati Reds, to be out there at Great American Ballpark, and I'm hitting, and I'm swinging, and I'm running, and I'm catching, and I'm throwing, and now I'm proving out that the potential I had is now being coming to fruit. It's bearing fruit. Elly De La Cruz was signed at 16 years old, skinny little kid out of the Dominican Republic. They thought he was going to be good, but nobody thought he was going to be good. Some of you, nobody thought even when you got saved you were going to be any good, but you could be just like old Elly. You could be the underdog. Nobody saw you coming. And then all of a sudden, you step onto the scene, and you're powerful for God. I want to be very clear with you this morning. God wants you to do something for his glory. It's all over the pages of this book. He's not calling everybody to be a preacher. He's not calling everybody to be a singer. He's not calling everybody to be a deacon or a trustee. He's not calling everybody to be an usher. He's not calling everybody to do specific things. But listen to me. I know this because I know the Bible. He's calling you to do something for his glory. Something. It may not be out front. It may be behind the scenes. He's calling you to do something. And if he's something physical, at minimum, he's calling you to do something spiritual. What do I? Of it. But he's asking you to this, at least, to act right. Amen. You can be justified by your works by just being a Christian, by just behaving yourself with a forgiving heart, with a loving tongue, by just simply being friendly with your smile or your handshake, by just simply having a loving tongue when someone passes away. We've experienced loss in our church in the last couple of weeks. Sending somebody a nice little card. He's asking you to justify yourself by being who he called you to be in Christ. Sometimes when I say in Christ, love pastor in Christ, what I'm saying is with all that the Christ that's within me, I want it to come out of me that you might feel that my love for you is more, that it doesn't just mean that I'm writing this, but if you need me, if you need to call on me, the old song said, just brother. When you need a friend, we all need somebody to lean on. Listen, I'm saying to you, you might not need me right here, right now, but there might come a day where you call upon me and say, could you bring me Campbell's chicken noodle soup? And I might have to stop by and drop something off to ease your pains, to make you feel better. I might have to come by the hospital room to pray with you. All I'm saying is we don't have to do everything all the time, but we got to do the right thing all the time. God is calling you. He's calling. If you're saved, he called you and you accepted the call. Praise be to God. But now that you're saved, you're justified by faith, he's calling you to be justified by works, to get out, get up, and do something for his glory. To stop being just potential. Because the word potential means you haven't done anything yet. I tell my sons all the time, you have great potential, but you haven't accomplished anything just yet. Now, my oldest son graduated high school. That's an accomplishment. So he's finally accomplished something. I said, that's okay. But I always tell him this. Your crown is out there waiting for you when you're ready to put it on. Christian, listen to me. Your crown is out there for you. It's just waiting for you to be ready to put it on, to be justified by your works. See, not everybody gets crowns to throw at Jesus' feet. Just because you go to the judgment seat of Christ, see, judgment seat of Christ isn't where you get cast out of heaven or brought into heaven. No, that's the people that are saved, and it's more of a reward system. But at the judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema seat, when you go there, that's where you're awarded these crowns, and the crowns only come to those who are faithful in Jesus Christ, who are justified by the works. You can go to heaven and be broke. Just want you to know that. You can go to heaven and not get a crown, but your crown's out there. Are you ready to put it on? Number three, it brings us to a juncture. and I'm finished. It brings us to a juncture. A church on fire brings us to a juncture. I mean, a juncture place of decision. It's a physical place where an emergency decision has to be made. If you're in a relationship, relationship has come to a critical juncture or a critical point. What you're saying is, it's a critical emergency, a time to make a decision about this. Listen, a church on fire has to bring can't be afraid to preach about hell. We can't be afraid to teach about hell. They say, well, sometimes people preach on hell because they're trying to scare people into getting saved. It's a really good reason to get saved. The first thing I knew about salvation was the card I read that was hanging on my bedroom wall as a kid. Didn't even know the church at the time, but they had come by. I put it up. It ended up being the church I went to and trained in and served in and sent out of. And all it said on the back is, do you know for sure that if you died today, you would go to heaven? And I start thinking, as dumb as I am, I start thinking, well, what's the opposite of heaven? And as I start studying, I go, oh, the opposite of heaven is dark and gnashing of teeth and smell like brimstone. You know, well, maybe heaven sounds pretty good. Maybe I ought to get saved. And when God saved me, he brought me to that point of decision, to that juncture. When that happened, I understood that there is a juncture, there is a point that's critical between the righteous and the wicked. A church on fire, listen, friends, no matter what's going on in our personal lives, no matter what's going on, we've got to remember that there's judgment, but there's justification, but that there's a juncture. That you and I are the dividing line. We are the divider. We are literally, on top of us is a numerator, below us is a denominator, and you are the dividing line. You and I are the people who are the ones who go out and tell people, there is a decision to make. Oh, it ain't long division. It ain't short division. Thank God it ain't story problems. But I want you to look at Luke 12:47-48. I told you, I don't really like math. And Jesus starts talking about division. I get nervous. I say, Lord, you'll have to give me much grace. But Jesus said this right before he tested. And prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Ooh, you are already a part of the family. You're justified by faith, but you're not justified by works. But he that knew not and did commit these things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. He said, even the lost people are going to get less stripes than the people that are saved that don't do nothing for Jesus. You ever think about that? If you're here saved, justified in faith, you're going to get more trouble than the lost people that don't know Jesus at all. Because he said, for whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much of him, they will. If you're saved, you've been given everything. He said, to whom much is given, much is required. So if you're not doing anything for Jesus, this is Jesus speaking. Get mad at me. The Lord said it. He said, if you're not doing anything for me and you're saved, you're worse than the because you've been justified by faith. You've been given everything, but you're doing nothing with what you've been given. I made an illustration in our discipleship class this morning. If I gave you a brand new you have the ability to do whatever you want with it. It's paid off. I hand over the keys. It's yours, title and all. Now, if you go out and tear it up, that's your business. But it'd be a foolish decision. Jesus, brand new life. Brand new life. Forgiven. Just as if I never sinned. He forgave you and he's cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. He no longer remembers your iniquity. He don't remember how raggedy, how sinful you are and how you used to be. All he sees is the blood of Jesus upon you. He gave you a brand new life. He gave you a new creation. He gave you everything you could ever want. He gave you the Holy Spirit to help and guide you. And you're out there and you're tearing the car up because you're not a good steward of what God's given you. So you got to make a decision today. See, division and juncture in the English language are actually antonyms. But spiritually, they are synonyms. What do I mean? Division means to have union or a lack of unity. So when you read that, Jesus says, I'm coming to bring a lack of unity. But he's not trying to bring a lack of unity amongst the church population. He's bringing a lack of unity. He's trying to dissolve you from being a part of the world. He said, even lost people can do nothing for me. This was last week, but let me recap. I missed it. He said, even lost people cannot go to church. Even lost people cannot be here tonight at 5 p.m. Ooh, you hear that, Brother Xavier? Silence. Even lost people cannot show up on Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday night. Even lost people can come and sit and be a pew potato and never do anything inside the church. Even lost people can sit in their homes during Grow on Thursday night. I'm just saying, because I'm saying. I told you. I'm in the zone. I'm locked in, and I don't care, because it's what the Holy Spirit's got for me. You either going to deal with it or you're not, and that's between you. You're at a juncture. Division means disunion or separate. Now watch. Here's the math problem. If I got this right, and I got some teachers in here, you might help me preach this, because I told you I'm not good at math. Commutative property means if you multiply or divide by the same numbers, you get certain results. But I also know this, that anything divided by itself is itself. When you're lost, you're divided by yourself, and you don't have anything to divide by. You don't have any numbers. Because I know that anything divided by zero is zero. Divide nothing from nothing, you get. But if you divide one from one, you get. And once you get saved by the Bible, there's a unity that comes, the Holy Spirit. You've got the one because you've decreased while he's increased. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So now when you divide Jesus by Jesus, you can only get Jesus. And so if you're saved here today, no matter what you're doing, if you divide yourself from the situation, but all you're really dividing is the Jesus, the Christ in you, in Christ, all you can get is Christ. When you're saved, all you should be able to get out of you is Christ. You can divide 100 by 100, you still get one. You can still divide 200 by 200, and you still get one. You can divide a million by a million, you still get one. Because when Christ be in us, you can't get anything but Christ. Us. See, when you and I realize, come to the realization, brothers and sisters, that Christ is our life. That's what the Bible says. That to live is what? And to die is what? Everybody say it again. To live is, and to die is. Now, you're alive today. The Bible just said to live is Christ. So dividing yourself by anything, again, Christ. So if you're doing anything that's not Christ-like, if you're doing anything that's not after Christ's own heart, then you aren't dividing, you're multiplying. Now let me, I told you I don't like math. Because what you're doing is you're taking the one and you're multiplying it by two. Ooh, Pastor Randy, I might need you to help me preach this. You ready? When you take the one who's Jesus divided by two, or multiply by two, you're taking your flesh, yourself, and Satan, and two times one equals two. And you can't times it against Jesus because Jesus has no part in that, but you're bringing Jesus with you. See, my mom used to always say that to me before I went somewhere. Are you sure you want to take Jesus there with you? What you mean, Mom? Are you sure you want to take Jesus to that party with you tonight? Now, we wasn't even in church like that, but she knew enough to know she was really talking about the Holy Spirit. If you go to that party where the alcohol is, if you go to that party where they're not doing right, where they're doing wrong, you taking the Holy Spirit with you. Now, I wasn't saved, thought I was saved, but that was her implication. When you multiply, when you add, that's why we don't add to the Word of God. People that multiply the Word of God, they've messed it up. They've taken away his divinity. But watch. When you take Satan in yourself, when you get into cahoots with Satan and multiply that, you start getting things. Remember, the Bible says you must decrease, he must increase. The only thing you're supposed to be multiplying, communicative property, is more godliness, more Christ. But when you're adding yourself in, that's where the mess ups start happening. I never messed up anything when I did it in Christ. But when I do it in Bryson, here comes the mistakes. I never had a fight or an argument in my marriage when it's multiplied by Christ or divide, when I divide myself when I'm in Christ. But as soon as I add Bryson in, sometimes I make a mistake. I've never, in my pastoralship, I've never made a mistake in Christ. Hear what I'm saying? In Christ. But I've made hundreds of them in me. As a church member, you've never made a mistake in Christ, but you've made some in you. So we got to get this equation down, and we've got to understand this. To live is Christ, to die is gain. What are we saying? We are living to the one, and we're dying to the two. And we're only dividing my flesh. We're not adding or multiplying Satan in my flesh by Christ, which gets us Christ. Because when I take myself and divide it, cut it asunder, I mean nothing. All I get out of that at the end of the day is Christ. We're at a critical juncture, church. This church is at a critical juncture. A church on fire. Will we apologetically, with power, passion, will we do it with a righteous spirit, a righteous heart, unafraid of what the world might think or say about us? Will we stand up for the truth? Will we bring the sword, as Jesus says? He says, I came to bring sword and judgment with me. Will we come and will we preach it with this sword? And no matter what men may say about us, will we stand up for the word of God? When they say, oh, you're angry, oh, you're mad, oh, this or that, will we say, no, I'm just Jesus. And he brought judgment with him. Will we understand that there's justification in the church on fire? That we can't just say, oh, we're saved, now there's nothing left. No, that we must be justified by our works, that we've got to bring with us the works of all the saints of heaven. We've got to come together for the glory of God against all the forces of the earth, that we've got to be justified by our works, in your individual lives, in your family's lives, in your church's life. We must be justified by the works of faith, because faith without works is dead. And will we bring a juncture? Will we bring folks and ourselves? Now let me harp on this. We've talked about bringing folks to this point of decision, but let me bring you to a point of decision. Everybody quiet, everybody's eyes on me. Pay attention very closely. Some of us are at a critical juncture, at a proverbial crossroads in our Christian walk. Some of you are fleeting, you're new to this, and you're wavering. James also says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You're teetering like this. You're not sure what to do next. You're not sure how to follow God. You're at a critical juncture. Some of you are mature Christians. And you understand, and you are at a critical juncture of, are you going to be mature enough to help younger Christians or Christians who are struggling to the next step? Some of you are fledgling Christians, you're middle ground Christians. You know enough about the Word of God to be dangerous. You've been around, maybe you used to serve, you don't serve anymore. Maybe you used to be on fire for God, you're not on fire anymore. Maybe you used to read your Bible and pray and show up to every service, you don't do that anymore. And you're in this place where you are at a critical juncture. Because those are the people that don't last very long for the kingdom's glory. I'm not saying they don't last in church. I'm saying they don't last being justified by their works. They don't continue on a pattern. They don't continue to do things for the glory of God. And here's the critical juncture. And here's what you need to hear and you need to pay attention to. Today, Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. I told you, this church on fire thing is not what you thought it was going to be. This is about our church and about us being on fire. This contagious Christianity that the Wednesdays heard. Hear me today. You're at a critical point. You need to make a decision today before we leave this place. Will you allow, you say you're justified by faith, and I can't argue that because only God knows if you're saved and justified. But I can watch with these two eyes. These are fake. These are just blue light blockers because I don't like these lights in my face. But I can see I got perfect 20/20. I don't wear no contacts. I don't wear no glasses. I had no LASIK. I can see everything clearly. And your pastor, the shepherd of this church, the bishop, he can see who's being justified by works or not. God hasn't given me the ability to see who's justified by faith. Can't ever know. When I go to church camp in a week to go preach in South Carolina, I'll have no idea if those 300 kids are saved. But what I've seen at that camp before is when I see kids, see them, and I get reports back from their youth pastor, hey, such and such is reading their Bible. They started showing up to church all the time. We can see if they're justified by works. Today, you need to figure out, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You need to work out today whether you want to be justified by, do you want to do something more for the glory of God? Or are you going to start times in Christ by two, you and Satan, and getting glory for yourself? You need to make a decision today. I said it last week, I'll say it again. This sounds like mean preaching, but it's way nicer than what Jesus said about coming to bring division. I said it. I'm trying to divide some of y'all out of here if you won't get this. Because we don't need any dead weight. Satan is trying to pull us down hard enough. Absolutely. Families having people dying in their families. everybody in the middle of summer sick in the church. My own family under attack with strep throat this week and different things. Listen to me. I told you this weeks ago, and it's coming true. I'm not a prophet, but I'm close to the man. I'm close to God, and I'm the man of God here, and I'm close to him. And he told me this. Stuff's going to happen. People, it's not. Crazy stuff starts happening when you start preaching against Satan and his advances. And it's happening. People having relationship problems. People arguing with this one, this one. All kinds of stupid stuff that don't got nothing to do with church. People bringing it to church because they mad about this or mad about that. People don't like this, that decision. And all I'm saying to you is, you're either going to multiply the problem by you and Satan, or you're going to divide it and say, only Jesus. And today, if you don't want to get right with Jesus, if you don't want to say, I'm proving out this justification in faith by works, then I would ask you politely and with all the glory of God and the grace of God in me to find yourself somewhere else to be, because this is a church on fire. We're not going back. We're not going away from it. I'd hate to lose any of you. I love you all dearly. But if you wouldn't allow the Christ in you to reign in and around this place, he came to cast out devils. And if there's devils among us, and I'm not saying that there are, but if there are, I adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ to come up out of here. Don't take it to another church. You just go sit at home till you can get right. I'm not putting that on nobody else, no burdens on nobody else. But if you can't do it right, because remember what he said, remember how we got to this point. If you can't do it right here, you got problems. Because Assurance Baptist Church was a church on fire. Good people, we got good young men in place, we got good deacons, good trustees, we got good leaders, we got good young people, good babies, good youth. We got a lot of good stuff going on. If you can't get it right here, then you need to go home and get it right. And when you're ready, listen, this is God. You can be the prodigal. Daddy be standing on the porch waiting for you with a handshake and a smile. I'll be waiting for you. See, if you can't get right here, I don't know where else you're going to get right at. Because this is the juncture place. This is the juncture point. Get right here, right now, this morning, whatever it is that's ailing you, whatever it is that's in the way, whatever it is, whatever reason you can't get right, it's because you keep multiplying other stuff. And all you need to divide is you by Christ, and you'll get Christ every single time. You decrease, he increase. And when it's all Christ, when it's all you, when you're talking, in your words, in your conversation only becometh as the gospel, oh, you start seeing some amazing things start going on. Can I testify real quick and I'm finished? Let me testify. I don't know for sure because I'm numbers oriented, but I haven't checked it out. But there's over 100 people that have gotten saved this year through the ministries of Assurance Baptist Church. There's over 15 people that have been baptized so far and more to come. Scheduled to come, which is a lot for a church our size, by the way. There's over 30 new people that are regulars here since April, since Easter. This July, just so you know, this July, if you weren't keeping track. There's people that never served at Assurance Baptist Church that are serving. There's people that didn't come to Wednesdays that are coming to Wednesdays. Anybody that was here Wednesday, see, you can't be justified by works. You can't know this if you want. But anybody that was here Wednesday night when we didn't have noon service, Wednesday night, we got, it was almost packed in here. We almost ran out of seats on a Wednesday night. Because we have two services. When everybody was together, I'm looking around, it ain't going to be too long before we can't fit in here on Wednesday. We got full-time staff almost a year and doing an excellent job, by the way, with Brother Brandon, doing what he's supposed to be doing. We got a part-time house mother, Miss Nancy, that keeps Brother Brandon and I, she's in the nursery this morning, that keeps us in check and in order and makes sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing and calls us out and says, nah, you're supposed to be here at this meeting at this time. No, you were supposed to do this. We're not missing appointments no more. That's a blessing. Yes, it is. It came because the church family is giving their tithe, their offering. They're able to afford those things. We got, listen, this is amazing. We got a young man who went to Cuba and seeing nearly 200 people saved and is going to give us testimony and video pictures. You ought to be here next Sunday night because he's going to give us an update. We got the blessing. I'm not going to take his thunder, but we got the blessing of help a young pastor. All them tell you about that next Sunday night, because I want you to be able to hear from all I'm saying. Wouldn't Satan want to get us? Why wouldn't he want to fight us if all that's good is going on? Why? He hates God, so if we're doing the things of God, if we've divided ourselves by Christ and it's all right, why wouldn't he be mad at us? But as I told the deacons and trustees this morning, old Flip Wilson used to say, he said two things. He said the devil said, the devil can't. The devil's trying to do to us because his arms can't. And the God in us shows up and comes out through the justification of works that God said, because you're justified by faith, now you're justified by works. Show up, and that's how we fight in spiritual warfare, by being justified by our works. You know how Rahab was justified by her works? She said, oh, we heard about you on the other side of what God did over there on the other side of Red Sea, how he parted it and their people walked through clearly. She said, you know what? I believe that, and because I believe that, let me hide you boys. Also, they don't get you, and look, we want to come with y'all. We into this thing. She said, I'm justified by works. I'm not afraid what's going to happen to me. I'm not worried about it. I'm just going to do what God told me to do, and I'm going to let the rest play out. Rahab is Jesus' great-great-great-great-great-grandma. Abraham said, this is my son. I love Isaac, but I'm going to take him up here to Mount Moriah. God, you told me to sacrifice him. I'm going to kill him. It's my only son. He said, take the lad up there. He said, I'm going to take him. I'm going to do what you say. He said, Abraham already called upon the Lord before then. The Bible says he did. When he said, get up out of Haran, he said, okay. Now he says, go up there, take your son. Abraham, okay, you don't do nothing. He says, now I believe. Now I believe that you really believe me. Because guess what happened? He was justified by work. God said, you say you believe me. Okay. God said, prove it. You say you love the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're saved. Church on Fire proves it. And it starts individually with you and me. Let's prove it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we are a fallible people. We are imperfect. We are wrong in so many ways. But we also can have a Savior that's name is Jesus Christ. And this Savior is perfect. That you can come to him by faith. But once you come to him by faith, he also says, the just shall live by faith. Prove out their behavior. See, the James, that book of James we talked about, is Jesus' own brother. And even that James didn't believe on Jesus Christ until after the resurrection. But after his resurrection, after he accepted that that was his brother, was the Son of God, of the living God, he said, I'm going to do something for him. And ultimately, James lost his life for his belief in Christ. He proved out. He said, faith without works is dead. He said, I'll die if I don't show my faith. How many of you are at a critical juncture and need to get serious today? As the music begins to play, the first part of this is, some of you need to get serious about heaven or hell. Some of you have a decision to make whether you would accept Jesus Christ in faith, be justified, and then say, I'm going to continue on in this journey by being justified by works. Understand, being justified by works has nothing to do with you being saved. It has everything to do with, once you're saved, proving out that you meant what you said by calling upon the name of the Lord. Some of you are at a critical juncture. Your attitude's not right. Your life ain't right. Your forgiveness ain't right. Your relationship's not right. Your parental guidance isn't right. And you need to get it right today. But first, friend, if you're here and you say, Pastor Bryson, I'm at that juncture. I don't know about heaven or hell. Here are the words of the Bible. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I laugh because I'm the greatest of all sinners. And I'm preaching the word of God to you to let you know that there was a day in my life where I realized I was a sinner, but there was a day where I said, God, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. my personal testimony. I got saved as an older guy after a life of sin. God still forgave me. His grace shines upon me every day. Who here today says, I need the grace of God to shine upon me? I need to accept it. Anybody here today says, I'm not saved, but I want to be saved? Would just raise their eyes. Just catch my eye with your eye. Say, me, I'm not saved, but I want to be saved. Anybody like that here this morning? If you're online, I would encourage you to send a message. Let us know. What about you, Christian friend? Nobody needs to know. This is not confessional. This is an invitation and appeal. Are you at a critical juncture with something in your life? Maybe something else. Critical juncture. If we be a church on fire, listen, don't you be the one that messes it up. Get that thing fixed today. Say, well, I'm too proud to go to the altar. Well, listen, the altar is not anything magic. The altar is not anything that you have to do. But you saw in those verses, to be justified by works says, I'm not ashamed of Christ. The altar is the public place we have corporately to show, I'm not ashamed. Nobody knows what you're talking about, but the Lord does. But it shows, I'm not ashamed. Oh, you can pray at your seat, that's fine. I believe the altar is a special place, a contrite place, a serious place, a place that proves justification by works that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to say this, that God's still working on me. And today, we give you that opportunity. If you're here today, you say, I need to join Assurance Baptist Church, letter of faith, or statement, or baptism, then today's the time to come. Right, let's get it right. You're at a critical juncture. Not joined up to the church, you've been coming, come on, today's the day. And surely if you need to be saved and know how to have heaven instead of hell, you come today. As Brother Chuck sings the first words, let's do business. We're at a critical juncture.
Please stand and join the singing. Wherever he leads, I'll go.
Juncture, decision point, to divide Satan and yourself. Get it out of the way. It would only divide you, but Jesus. Which gives you Jesus.
My cross.
Months now. Met them through our Bible study that we do every Tuesday at Miamisburg, Sycamore Creek Bible Study. Pastor Steve and Miss Karen Chapman have come today to join Assurance Church through state. Yeah, amen. Jake, they're never going to get it right. They clapped again. We ain't voted.
What if they say no? We take our clapping back.
First clap. Okay. All in favor accepting Pastor Steve and Miss Karen into the fellowship. Membership of Assurance Baptist Church, say amen.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Beautiful family. Pastor Steve and Ms. Karen have served in lots of churches throughout the Miami Valley. Their daughter Laura is here with them today. We're glad to have you with us. And just have been a tremendous blessing to me and my family and to all the folks down there at Sycamore Creek and to our church family. And so we're so glad to have you guys joined in with us here. We're going to receive our morning offering, and then we'll have our final song and be dismissed. You give back to the Lord as he's been good and richly blessed you. We had a tremendous, tremendous opportunity to just be a part of some things with the Cuba thing. So again, I want to make sure that next Sunday night, tonight we have service back in the book. So be here tonight at 5 p.m. and the kids program is going on. But next Sunday night, Brother Carter is going to get up and he'll give a testimony and show the videos and all the things that happened while he was down there preaching and all the good things that we saw and how our church was able to aid and help someone, a pastor, a young pastor, church planter down there. And then also, he's got the announcements, but I want to encourage you not only to come tonight, but we have a ladies meeting coming up. We've got Young at Hearts things coming up. He's going to go over some of these announcements. But let me just say this. That's an encouragement to us, too. It's not just Sunday or Wednesday. Being able to come to some of those other things, men's prayer. All you men that didn't hear Pastor Randy Bowles' devotion a couple Saturdays ago, you missed out. Everybody knows. They're shaking their head. You missed out. And I don't want you to miss out on good stuff. Amen. There's good stuff that goes on, and sometimes you don't miss it, and so I just want to encourage you. When Brother Carter gets these announcements, don't check out. It ain't time to get on your phone. It ain't time to listen to the announcements. Write down. Get your bulletin. Put it on the refrigerator. Remember, and show up to some of that stuff, all right? It's good stuff. We don't do it for no reason. Everything we do is for the glory of God. Younger Hearts is not for the glory of 55 and older people. It's for the glory of Jesus Christ. Youth group's not for the glory of Brother Brandon, Sister Megan, or anybody else. It's for the glory of Jesus Christ. So we do things to give more glory, shed more light. All right, let's pray for the offering. Father God, we ask that you would bless this offering, both the gift and the giver. Help us, Lord, to steward it wisely with us wherever you would want it to go. Father, we ask that you bless it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask it. Amen.
If you didn't get a bulletin, make sure you grab one on your way out or snag a picture of one that's hung on the wall outside the door. But we got just a few announcements for you. The first one is our ladies' fellowship. So Tuesday, July 11th at 6:30, there'll be a ladies' event here at the church with Miss Christy Brister giving the devotion. So you want to be here for that. They ask you, please bring a snack to share. Then Young in Hearts, you guys have a busy month. Brother Chuck is running you like crazy. You guys have two events in July. So the first one is on the 21st. The Young at Hearts and then the Marvel Youth Group are going to have a game night together. So that's July 21st at 5 o'clock. So you can either see Brother Brandon or Brother Chuck about that. Then Young at Hearts, you have another event on the 30th. It says you're going to host a Senior Sunday July 30th in the morning service. So you guys want to be here for that. And then the last one I had is Splash Camp. So the teens just got back from camp. Now Brother Jeremy has to go and deal with all the little crazy little kids for a week. I'll go to teen camp. I'm so glad I don't have to go to Splash Camp. But there's a note in there, so see that in your bulletin. And then the last one, and this one's really important, on the back of your bulletin, we need some more church bus drivers. So right now we only have one. Mr. Jeremy is the only person who can drive our church bus. So if you're interested in getting your CDL with your passenger license, the church will pay for you to get that license. And so if you're interested in driving the church bus, please see Pastor, and we will help set it up and pay for you to get that license so we can have more church bus drivers. Brother Chuck?
Let's stand and sing our closing hymn, He Lives. I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. See you this evening.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun.